These recordings here, we put them on the internet, and people in Jamaica, China, Korea, some of the darkest Africa, some of the darkest places, Philippines, visit this website, and they don't have the privilege you and I do to gather. Brother Philip talked about, hadn't come here yet, but it's coming. And it won't be too long. There was a black church. A white man came in there and killed everyone in the church, a young boy. He shouldn't have done it. I know the devil was glad that he done it, but he shouldn't have never done it. And that's coming. And the Oregon shooting, the Newtown shooting, the Columbine massacre. For those of you that don't know, Kathy Bernard, maybe that was her last name, Kathy Bernard. She just got saved at a youth camp meeting. And them guys came in dressed in the black, the trench coat, Dick Tough guys. And they asked her, "Are you a Christian?" She hadn't been saved a week. She said, "Yes, I am." And that was the last word she spoke. It'll cost you something to bear his name. It cost him something to bail you out of the limb of hell. And she prayed the supreme price, but when he puts that crown upon her brow, it'll be worth it.
Amen.
I believe that'll be the greatest crown, the martyr's crown. I believe it'll outshine all the rest of them. And we've seen good days. America, been blessed of God, used of God. America was conceived in the heart of God to evangelize the world. Right. Every missionary has came from America. Every true revival has took place in America. God has used this country to take the word of God all the way around the world. I believe it's about done. But anyway, we want to just go right into the message here this morning. I don't know how long I'm supposed to preach. Most time I can't meet that criteria anyway. But I do want to say a couple positive things. God's the only one I know can be everywhere and still show up. And I'm convinced he'll probably show up here this morning. Maybe in your heart, maybe in mine. If he does, I'll shout. And if you don't shout and he shows up, why, shame on you. But I'll tell you, the Bible talked about old Balaam was called down to curse the people of God. And when he looked down there, he said this. He said, "There's a shout of a king among them." I'll tell you, if you get the Cain help, it'll be all right.
Amen.
Now, if you're going to shout in the flesh, that might not be good. But when it gets bigger than you and you can't hold it back and you're just going to bust, if you don't, just let it rip. I've been there many times. Matter of fact, I'll probably shout a little bit this week. But my name's Eddie Wade. I'm not nobody. The good thing is I know it. That's a good thing. I met a bunch of men that were so full of themselves that God was having to pluck a few feathers out. I don't have any feathers that need plucking out. And I'm just a humble, saved, drunk. God saved me. I not only was a drunk, but I was still drinking. Even after I was saved and I couldn't quit. Now, I'll preach one night this week, good Lord be willing, on the marriage. I don't know exactly what night I'll be preaching that message, but I do hope and pray that you get your husband by the ear. Get your wife, get your kids, and come. And I'll follow God's leading, but I really look forward to preaching on the marriage. Me and my wife been married 40 years. And I don't know how in the world she put up with me, but 13 of those years she was married to a drunk. I'm talking about come home barking like a dog drunk. She'd get me by the collar, lead me to the bedroom, she'd get the kids and leave. And she said, "When you sober up, we'll be back." And I didn't just have sober up, I had to clean up. Right? Vomited and everything. And I'm not proud of those days, but God saves drunks.
Amen.
And I'm a living proof of that. We'll take our text this morning, 2 Peter chapter 2. We'll read the first six verses there. I'll be using a King James 1611 Bible. Now the reason I use that is because God is light. And in Him there is no darkness at all. There's no 50 shades of gray with God. He's light. He's pure light.
Amen. Amen.
His word is light. It's a lamp unto our feet, light in our path. His word gives light. I was in darkness, but light shined in my darkness and showed me the way. And I praise God, I got saved. I may comment a little bit on that. But I want to preach this morning out of 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 6. We'll read those verses there. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who shall privately bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemning them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. We'll stop our reading right there. Our text will be verse number 5. And we're going to be preaching this morning, good Lord be willing, on Noah. And we'll go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you for the privilege to stand for the word of God. Lord, we pray that, Lord, that you would add what's needed here today. May you, I pray, Lord, minister to our hearts today. May we be challenged in our heart today. May we see ourselves today in the mirror of the word of God. Lord, whatever we need to do, may we do it with haste. And may we get, like Brother Philip said, may we get true revival. Lord, I believe revival, Lord, will put us where we need to be. I believe revival will help us to be what we need to be. Lord, for all these favors, we ask them in Jesus' name, giving you the praise and the glory. Amen.
Amen.
We're preaching today on Noah. And if you'll notice there, it said that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Now, 1 Corinthians says that God, chapter 1, chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, I thought preaching was foolish. I made fun of church, and my wife took the babies and loaded them up, went to church. I sat at home, thinking, you know, I'm a man's man. That's for women, wimps, and all that stuff. Well, if it's that way, how come I wasn't man enough to come to church then? How come I wasn't as big as I thought I was, Brother Philip? I thought I was a man's man. I thought, you know, only babies, sissies, wimps, women go to church. You know, some men, they need to come inside. They need to learn the issues of life. There's a whole lot more to life than what you're thinking.
Amen.
And I thought I could make it without going into church. And God finally got me in church, and I found out a whole lot of things I didn't know. Matter of fact, I've been shoeing in the house of God now 27 years, and I'm still receiving instruction. Amen. But Noah was a preacher of righteousness, and that man of God got up there that day after my little 8-year-old boy walked up to his drunk daddy and said, "Daddy, will you please go to church with me today?" Now, I've been drunk Saturday night, and I'm still drunk on Sunday morning, and I had done brag that I was going to go fishing, and if my cousin wanted to go, he could go with me, and if he didn't want to blank the blank with him. I mean, I was full of myself, full of the devil. I was a sinner, a hell-deserving sinner. But my bedroom door opened that Sunday morning, and something came to that door I wasn't expecting. a little 8-year-old boy. And his little lip wasn't quivering. And there's tears dripping off his cheeks like a leaking faucet. And he woke up his 200 plus pound father. And he said, "Daddy, will you please go to church with me today?" I could have told anybody else no. I mean, I could have told my wife no. I could have told Godzilla no. But this little 8-year-old boy walked up to his drunk daddy. And he said, "Daddy, will you please go to church with me today?" You know what happened since? I saw a real lady wave for the first time in my life. Here I am, 34 years old, a fool, a product of Satan's sin. And I thought I'd whoop anybody. I did. Quite a bit of that. Rough house. Just, you know, full of sin. Here a little 8-year-old boy. Hit me harder than I've been hit my entire life. Matter of fact, I fell to my knees. It wasn't like I knelt down, I fell down. Now I remember there was a watermelon in my throat. And as I choked on that thing, the words came out finally. And I said, "Of course, Dad, go to church today." It was the farthest thing from my mind. I couldn't believe that came out of my mouth. And he went running down the hall. "Mama, Mama! Daddy's going to church." Me and the devil back there going, "I mean, World War III. You done it now? You done it now?" Well, make a long story short, this drunk got the best clothes I had on, was looking much. The church bought me this. I did not. I'm in that category. I'm poor and idiot. The Lord thank you on me. Several years ago, have I none? Brother Phil asked me to help out this revival meeting. I said, "I'll be thrilled to death. I've been sitting on the bench now about 3 years. And since he told me that guitar blew it up, I thought, well, had to have told home, the guy come out there to get it. It cost me $120. And that didn't bother me so bad as his attitude. When we got out there, he's got a roll back. And we get to my car. And I said, "Sir, you want me to unlock the door, put it up?" He said, "If I want you to do something, I'll let you know." I said, "Yes, sir." I gave him $120, and I expected him to be a little nicer about it. We got to the house, like two totem poles, not a word from my car. Out here by the, you know, the top hill at Bearwater. Mine was that little tan SUV I was on sitting by the road there of mine. We got to my house, and he finally spoke. He said, "You want him to drive away the front yard?" I said, "To drive away, he fine." He said, "Fine." That was me 27 years ago. Yeah, that was me. I didn't do that. I need to be reminded just where God brought me from. I was like, I got the best clothes I had on, went to church that day, my family. I couldn't believe this was happening. I was like arrested in this life. It wasn't like I was on board and I was going to bring up no way out of it. We got over to the church parking lot. They done like church people. They didn't run in the house of God. They had to leave their brother Phil. And I'm out there in the car, and me and the devil, I mean, I've got my hands on the steering wheel, my neck was turning white, and we're having a terrible battle. And he says something like, "You know, if you go in there, they're going to look down their nose at you and say, 'Who brought him in here?'" And I believe that, sis. And I'm out there thinking, "Do I really want to do that? Do I really want people to look down their nose at me? I mean, I'm a drunk. There's no missing. I mean, even that day, my breath smells so bad, I'd make somebody else drunk." Anyway, since I finally got up enough nerve, I guess God would have me push me, I don't know, but I still remember getting hold of going out of that church to the devil's right there, and he said, "If you open up that door, if you mess it up, if you open up that door." And there was a big old battle right there, young man, but I opened up that door. And on the other side of that door, still people looking down their nose at me, the pastor come running to me, Brother Philip. He saw my condition, and I'm sure you'll see that. Lord, where you land your fish, you got to catch them on your plane. I hadn't been clean yet, I hadn't been caught yet, just been rough. But he come over there, shook my hand, he said, "Come on in here, we're glad to have you." And I'm glad he did. It might be like that. I sat back on the back row. My family set up there, you know, about middle ways or something like that. And he got a bird up to preach. I got mad. I got big money. I thought, who does he think he is? I know this man. I worked with him. priest tried to work it. I thought, who does he think he is calling me a sinner? Well, actually, I got mad because I thought my wife had told him everything I'd ever done. I mean, I did. She has told him everything I've done. When we get home, she's had it. And that's what it seemed like. It seemed like she had spilled the beans on him. He didn't leave nothing unnamed. He plowed up down my row. I mean, up down my back. I mean, boy, I got mad at her, and then I got mad at him. And I thought, on the way out the door, I'm going to give him one of these. When it was over with, I couldn't even move my feet. Because bigger than me, which was God in this whole situation. You know, except the Lord built my house. I don't want a family to see. Yeah, let God do it. Except the Lord built the house, they had labor to build it, labor in vain. The preparation hearts of the Lord. God's got to do it. I like to lay hands on somebody's knees and say, I'd like to do that. I can't. You remember what Thomas said when he finally got out of hell that week? He said, salvation to the Lord. See, he's in the belly of hell, he's crying. He can't get out. Finally, he said, he cried out of belly hell. And he said, God heard him and commanded that fish to bomb him out on God. That was the first Nineveh singer. He took Jonah from the ocean to the shores of Nineveh. First Nineveh singer. But he said, out of belly of hell I cried. And when that whale did spit him out, he said, salvation to the Lord. And it is. It's of the Lord. God's got to save you.
Amen.
Anyway, they gave that invitation. They sung just as I am. And I really didn't want to get saved. I just didn't know how. I know that's going to sound kind of funny. I didn't know nothing about the Bible. I didn't know nothing about God. But I was convinced for the fact of one thing by the preaching of the Word of God that I was a lost sinner on my way to hell. And I knew I needed to be saved. I just didn't know how. And I worked with a man, and you need to listen to me real good right here. His name was Wendell Shaw. He wasn't ashamed of Jesus. He talked about Jesus while I was in the unit. I'd get mad, and I didn't really want to hear it. But he was glad to tell it, and he just kept telling me about Jesus. And I tried to overdo it the other way, and he walked away while I was talking to him, let me know he didn't want to hear me, let me know also that he loved me. Anyway, I'm going to have to sit there and go to that, which I know of. But I went out there to Ardonis, son. I worked there for 32 years. I went out there to Ardonis, son. I'm looking for a window. I thought, if I can just get the window, he can help me get saved. I mean, I knew I needed to be saved. I just didn't know how to be saved. Well, I go out there frantically looking for Wendell Shaw. Asking people, they said, we don't know, we're busy, eh? We ain't got time. Finally, one guy said, I think I seen him in the foreman's office. That's where he was. Now I went in that foreman's office, and him and the foreman were talking. And I opened, you get good laws to do this too. I opened up that door and I said, look, I don't care what neither one of y'all's talking about. I'm lost. I'm going to hell. I need somebody to tell me how to be saved. You get good laws to do this.
Amen.
And I'd like to have a picture of that man's face when I said that. And that foreman quoted about 4 or 5 verses from the Bible, something like Acts 16:31, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved, or Romans 10:13, you shall call on me, Lord, shall be saved, or something like John 3:16, God so loved the world, gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I mean, he just quoted some verses of the Bible. But the Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of God, neither can he know them because they're foolish to him. And that's where I was. I was a natural man. I hadn't become spiritual yet. The light had came on me. I'm in darkness. But the seed got planted. See, we're begotten by the Word of God. That seed has been, you ever raised a garden? Did you go out there and plant the seed and expect it to be up the next day and get away? Well, that's kind of the way this is. Here I am. I want to raise up. I have to admit, the husband waited for the precious fruit. I want to get out of this thing. I mean, I want to get saved. I don't know how. Well, anyway, after this foreman quoted those verses, a man that had come to see Wendell Shaw, he said, Eddie, I want to sleep right now. We walked outside that foreman's office, people brushing our shoulders on both sides in the hall, going back and forth. Winter Shaw told me the most phenomenal thing I ever heard in my life. He said, Eddie, Jesus loves you. He said, Eddie, Jesus wants to save you. He gave me the best illustration I guess I've ever heard in my life. He said, Eddie, if your little boy done something wrong and he come to you and said, Daddy, I'm sorry. He said, Eddie, what would you do? I said, well, what if I forgive him? He said, it's the same will of God. You can't imagine the faith that gave me.
Amen.
I couldn't wait to get home and ask the Lord to save me. And I did. I went straight from there home, knelt down there in my bedroom, 9,000 Evan Road, and I really didn't know how to pray. But I knew I was lost. So here's what I prayed. I said, dear Lord, somebody told me you loved me. Somebody told me that if I asked you, you'd forgive me my sin and you'd save my soul. I said, the best way I know that is right here. Right now, I'm asking you the same way. But I want you to know heaven came down.
My
I almost ran what salvation is all about. I knelt down condemned. I knelt down I was guilty of sin. I was deserving of hell. And I want you to know in this much time, the peace of God took that place of all that condemnation. That's why the Bible said there's therefore now no condemnation them in Christ Jesus. I've tried to work it up before. It can't be found no more. I've tried to get the storm like it was that day. You know, this ship's about to go down. I mean, worst case scenario. And if God had to save me, I believe I'd have died. It had reached its pinnacle. I couldn't go no further like it was. Boy, that calm. It took the place of that storm. That joy of the people before the glory was so great, Brother Philip, I had to go look in the mirror. I guess I was going to look for a halo. I don't know. And I won't tell you one thing while looking in that mirror. I couldn't really see no difference. But what I couldn't see in that mirror, there was a difference in here.
Amen.
I had to fall over the last day, apologize to people, forgive them the cussing, brag about how drunk I was going to get, what I got home. Men I worked with, they had to get to learn a new Eddie William. It took a little while. But see, Noah was a preacher. He preached for 120 years.
Yes.
A preacher of righteousness. He preached about a coming judgment. You know what he done while he preached? He worked.
Amen.
The Bible said in the book of Hebrews that he moved. You can't get nobody to move. We sing that song, I said, I've been moving how true that is. But he moved, the Bible said, with fear. Preparing an ark to the saving of his family. See, he wanted his family to survive this coming judgment. But while he's working, he's preaching. He said, there's a flood coming. It's never rained before in my life. Have you heard Noah? He's preaching about some stupid flood coming on the earth. He probably seemed to be a fool to me. And I'm sure Brother Philip, and I know he knows I know the same, maybe that some people we care to be a fool. And we are a fool for Christ.
Amen.
As I tell you right now, if you preach the preaching God gives you to preach, if you do the same willingly, you'll see a reward. Amen. I'll say, God forbid, and I should not preach. Amen. I tell you, if you do it willingly, there'll be a reward. There'll be a way of God. There'll be a man there. It'd be a good day. Noah's preaching. Noah's working. People are lying. Hey, see that Noah and our building are at home. Hey, Noah, tell us about this flood. Can you imagine that day? It's kind of like today. See, in that day, the Bible said there were scoffers walking out of their own lust. See, they said, well, you know, for me, I don't take out the wilderness in a deer stand. I thank God up there in the bass boat. Those are pleasures. More than those of God. Mm-hmm. That's the day we're in. That's the day Noah was in. How many of you people were walking after all the lunch? There's Morgan. Hey, Noah, everything feel like it was from the beginning. Where's that promise of it coming? Well, I'll tell you, I'm looking at this one right now. Beautiful day. An hour. You listen to me. I've read the Bible from Luke 2, 17, and I know it to be the Word of God. And that Word says, an hour that you think not. Mm-hmm. He's coming. I believe it. I'm looking forward to leaving it.
Amen.
Hold and see what half had been told. I've heard the half had been told. I want to see that half had been told. No eye seen, no ears heard. Never seen the heart of man. Things half prepared. I want to see the heart of man disappear. I want to see that.
Amen.
And I've got a promise for one. And when he couldn't swear, but no ready, Brother Philip.
Amen.
He swore by his own name. The Bible said that Abraham staggered not at that promise. He said, that's good enough for me. All the promises of God in Christ Jesus are yea and amen. There's no question marks. They're all affirmative. All the promises, Peter said, they're given unto us exceeding great and precious promises from God. He's faithful. He promised. He's coming.
Amen.
Hour that you think not. But let's get back to Noah. Now, I don't know how many people there were in those days. There might have been billions, might have been millions. I don't know, but it's kind of like today. You know something's got to give. Population's getting too big. The Bible tells us there in the book of Genesis chapter 6. It says that they were wicked. It says the imagination of their thoughts was only evil continued.
Amen.
Now, let me cut real quick right here in this message. All God has ever asked you to do, two things. The Ten Commandments hanging on to it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now we really struggle with those because we're selfish and sinner-minded and all of that. We really struggle with that. And in those days, they were kind of struggling with it also. They're so full of themselves, they couldn't see nobody but themselves. And they kill one another. Just rise up and just battle and they kill one another. That's the way it's done.
Amen.
You watch the leaders and you sit there and think, okay. You know the Bible said nations are going to rise against nation. What happened to Muhammad Gaddafi? What happened to Saddam Hussein? I can't say that guy that was over Egypt. I can't say his name, but what happened to that guy? Are you getting this? Nation shall rise against nation. There'll be wars and rumors of wars. There'll be earthquakes and divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrow. When you see these things, know it's now and evil at the door.
At the door, amen.
That's why you watch it in. You look at it and you say, ain't going to be long. It's close. Real close. I only know one place of safety. Psalms 91. He that abideth, verse 1. He that abideth under the shadow of the Almighty shall be free from evil. That's the safest place I know. Now you go ahead and trust in Smith and Wesson. You go ahead and trust in 911. You go ahead and trust in the state trooper, the National Guard, maybe your own strength, maybe your own financial means. I'm going with God.
Amen.
I done found him out. He's more than me. I tell him I had a night, sister. I say, oh, we're going to sleep. Watch over us, don't let the house burn down, don't let nobody break in. You know when you read Psalms 23, it says something like, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you may do that. Lincoln Smith carpenter. I said, yes, Aunt Meg, I'd be glad to do that. Because I preached that funeral, sitting on the front row at the funeral home. Her son, Chuck Dunlop, honorary pallbearer, younger than me, whole lot younger than me. Within 1 month, I done his funeral. Heart attack. Sitting back behind him, my aunt, 1 month later, done her funeral. Which, you know, the most certain thing in life is death. You might be thinking about it, but it's the most certain thing in life. You just don't know when, where, or how, but I guarantee you, just a step between you and it. The yea, the one walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. But thou art with me. He said, never leave you. He said, never forsake you. He said, thy rod and thy staff, he said, they comfort me.
Amen.
It's all right with me. I just said, I asked my pastor questions while he's preaching. I didn't know anything. Bless his heart, he had enough questions about it. He didn't have no singing about it. I mean, he never would preach like a commencement. And I said, Brother Rick, what's this right here, man? He said, I'll talk to you later about it, Brother Rick. It'd be good if I'd have a preacher to be in some grace. I was rough as a cup. I went down to Baltimore to have an MRI done on my back. I'm saved. I ain't worried about nothing. The young lady, she's real nice. And she said, would you like to listen to some music while you're having this done? And yeah, I'm big spiritual, you know. I can say, I made some terrible mistakes. But I said, ma'am, you wouldn't have anything I'd be interested in listening to. She said, what would you like to listen to? I said, I don't listen to other spiritual songs. I like to make a bed in my heart to the Lord. I want to listen to songs from home. I don't like that headbanging stuff no more. I used to listen to it, you know. I don't have it. And I don't do that anymore. I won't listen to a song based on raising my hand. Woo! Woo! I won't listen to that kind of stuff. She said, we can hear that. So she did. Sure did. She put her headphones on me. She turned that back on. I said, hallelujah. Man, I'm getting blessed. I'm having my eyes out. I'm going to cut the chase as quick as I can. I'm going to clock. It's wearing me out right now. Well, I'm in here having this MRI done. I'm enjoying this music, man. I'm here, they're playing my kind of song, Brother Philip. Now, this MRI hurt my back. I was pretty young. I hurt my back. And this MRI, it come like, it made the skin kind of warm me up a little bit, blew up a little bit. Made the skin kind of warm me up a little bit, blew up a little bit. Made the skin, you could feel it, you could kind of hear it a little bit. Anyway, that thought right here, it made a skin. She's got all kind of stuff on her body, you know. And she interrupts my music. She says, Mr. Wade, you need to come out for a minute. And I noticed I am getting kind of short of breath. You know, I thought, yeah, maybe I might want to come out. She brings me out of that thing. It's kind of like a terror anyway. She brings me out of that thing. I can't get my breath. And my heart got, somehow my heart got in some kind of distress. I'm not a doctor. I can't explain it. But when she brought me out, she looked at me and she said, are you by yourself? And I said, no, I got my wife with me. She said, do you think I might ever go get her? And I said, yes, please, you might want to. So this woman goes and gets my wife, brings her back there. My wife looks at me and she says, he ain't going no good. The nurse says, you think I want to call a doctor? My wife said, yes, call a doctor. And I think, oh, doctor, come back there. He looks at me. This is a real doctor. He said, he ain't doing no good calling 911. I thought, boy, I'm glad he's my doctor. They called 911. That's the first thing they said. They said, he ain't doing no good. I was convinced. I was fixing to die. It became apparent and clear. Yeah. Boy, anyway, he's fixing to graduate his life. I didn't even think about that day. It came anyway. So they're flying in on me and wearing me out. And I mean, they put oxygen on me and I'm in there going to town. And this little nurse, she's been by my side the whole time. She's shaking like me. And I told her, I said, don't leave my bedside. I said, have you ever seen a Christian die? She couldn't even speak. She's shaking as a light. I said, I want you to see Jesus makes words. I didn't know what was going to happen. I'm done with Bob's rock. I was ready. I done made preparation against that day. I'll speak to God.
Amen, brother.
You better too. It can come to you today.
Mm-hmm.
So, this nurse is shaking. I don't know what to do. I started quoting Psalms 23. That's all I know to do. I'm quoting Psalms 23, and I'm feeling pretty good. I'm sitting there thinking, well, I never thought positively about dying before. But I get to thinking positively about dying. I'm sitting there thinking, well, I ain't going to have to work no more. I ain't going to have to worry no more. I'm going to get to see Jesus. And I just almost got a foot in heaven. I mean, just kind of like my word of how Savior this moment now. Right in the middle of all of this, my wife jumps up, puts a finger in my face, and says, you got a granddaughter having a birthday this Saturday, and you need to be there. Stop it. I took the option. Paramedic said, you can't do that. I said, you don't understand. It's over. They said, you'll have to sign a waiver. Where do I sign? I walked out and my wife went home. That's been about 20 years ago. I still know what it is. I was almost in Canaan's land. That's the way life is. Sometimes, here today, gone tomorrow. Sometimes you're here today and gone today.
Amen.
You see, that's why he didn't make preparation against that day. Here no is, he's up there preaching, he's working, he's building an ark. And all of a sudden God says, Noah, come here. I'm waiting by this out of Michael Wayne Jackson. He said, his message might be a baloney, cut off even if it's still good. I'll cut a bunch of this message out. I wouldn't reply to my brother, won't try to be nice to him. But listen. God told him to come in. You know what that tells me? That tells me God's already in the ark. And he says, you come now into the ark and your family. I just got saved just asking one time what was Noah's wife's name, and I tore that Bible apart. I never heard that. He said, Miss Noah. They could have been nice and said, they ain't in there. But I tore it. I said, I'll get back with you. Man, God's had to humble us, man. It's Miss Noah, that's the name. Anyway, Noah, Miss Noah, Shem, Ham, Japheth, and their wives went into the ark. And the Bible said, the Lord,
amen,
shut the door.
Amen.
Remember that parable about them 10 virgins, 5 wives, 5 foolish? Cry came out, the bridegroom's coming, midnight cry. And the 5 foolish asked the 5 wives, give us all. See, they've been playing church like some of us. They hadn't made preparation. 5 had made preparation. Good to go. 5 were foolish. They said, we can't give you our oil. We don't have enough to sell. So as they go out to get the oil, guess what happens? The bridegroom shows up. 5 are gone. 5 are crying out. Lord, open to us. Door shut.
Amen.
I'll tell you right now, buddy, eternity is a long time spent in the wrong place. Let me clear that up. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41 tells you plainly that hell was made for the devil and his angels.
Amen.
John chapter 14, verse 2 tells you plainly that God made heaven for you and not only made it for you, that's what he wants you to be on. He made you wake up. He wants you to come and he's got everything ready. I taught Sunday school when I first got saved and had a little 10-year-old boy, Brent Spill, when he passed his little Bethel church up on Highway 90. He said, brother, I don't know we're going to like him when we get to heaven. He's about your age. He's about 10. All right. I said, Brent, you like it down here? He said, yeah, brother, I like it down here. I said, he says, far better. I'm very good enough. I'm glad he didn't push me before. I didn't know much about my life anyway. But the part of being Christ is far better. We're going to like it. If you like it down here, you're going to love it up there. Down here, there's a devil walking around. Up there, praise God. You're in the presence of God. You're enjoying the things of God. You're in the joys of the Lord. And you look and you say, glory, glory, I'm home, amen. If you're saved, this ain't home.
Amen.
My citizenship Come out like that second boss about any vote, Brother Philip. Because I am a citizen of this country, I'm a citizen of that country. I'm already sitting in heaven in the place of Christ Jesus. I'm telling you right now, I'm telling you, glory to God, I'm every pipe home, amen. I'm looking forward to getting home.
Amen.
Noah, in his day, how many people? I don't know if there's a million. I don't know if there's a million.
Yeah.
I know how many lived.
Amen.
Eight lived. The rest perished. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, 14. He said, verse 13, Matthew chapter 7, for all is only the least of destruction. Many there be that go in there. Remember that word many. In Noah's day, eight saved, many perished. Remember that word many. Verse 14, Jesus said, there is the way that leads to life.
Yes.
Few! Peter said that is few souls. They were saved. Few. Are you one of them few? You can be. I'll tell you right now, everybody's not going to heaven, but everybody should. Everybody can. Only a fool. I had my son-in-law, I want to think about my brother, not my son. Had my brother-in-law in the house one time. Brother Philip, I was a whole lot more serious back then than I am now. I mean, people scared to death of me. They knew if they come to my house what I was going to talk about. He already knew what I was going to say to death. So Robert L. Anderson came to my house. Oh, it's Derek, brother Derek. Derek came to my house. He already knew I was going to talk to him about the Lord and turning and all that. So anyhow, I'm already set up in this thing. So I said, Garrett, I said, I wish to get saved. I wish to go to hell. You know what he's dumb enough to say to me? Let's bring it out. He said, I want to go to hell. I said, is that right? He said, yeah. I mean, he's already got this thing all figured out, see. He's got to figure out how he can get around me, witnessing me. You know what I did? I said, you don't mind proving that to me, did you? He said, I will. What did I do then? I went over and turned the kitchen range on high. When it got cherry red, I said, lay your face on that burner. Prove to me you want to go to hell. He fell down right there and said, God, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Save me. You got saved right there in the kitchen.
Amen.
Let me tell you something, buddy. Hell's a convincing factor.
Amen.
You go jump in a volcano, you prove to me that you ain't worried about going in the place called hell. In Luke 16, that rich man cried,
yes.
And he said, I'm tormented! Tormented in these flames. It's not a vacation spot, it's not frozen over, it's a fit place for one it was made for. It was made for the devil and his angels. And if you'll let that devil, he'll lie to you, you'll end up there. But if you'll let the Lord, he'll forgive you, he'll save you, give you eternal life, and one day you'll meet the odds. One day, Lord of God, the trumpet will sound, and I've never flown in my life, but I'm going to take my first flight, my devil is mine, I'm going home.
Amen.
If you get left behind, let me just tell you what's going to be. It's going to be a bunch of churches. You'll come in here. You pick up one of these, you say, boy, I should be miss hearing some of those songs. You pick up one of the Bibles, you say, boy, I should be miss hearing preach that word. Because they're all in heaven, see? Now, for those of you who think you're going to get saved after the rapture, forgive me. Thessalonians, I believe it's 1 Thessalonians. See, first or second Thessalonians, but second Thessalonians. Talks about that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And God will give you a strong delusion that you'll believe a lie, that you might be damned. Why would God do that? Because you receive not the love of the truth. Because you turned down his nail-scarred invitation with a nail hole in his hand. He reaches out and says, let me. Let me save you. Let me give you a home in heaven. You turn that down, you get left behind, it's over. And not only are you going to be given a strong delusion, you'll believe a lie that you might be damned, but you're going to go through 7 years of tribulation. Great tribulation, like the world's never seen. Now, we've seen some tribulation. We've got 15 inches of rain right now up there in the eastern part of Kentucky. And it's bad. Houses washing away, people grinding, cars washing away, sinkholes and all that stuff. That's nothing! This is great tribulation. During this time, Brother Philip, men are going to seek death, and it's going to flee from you. We've got a big thing now about zombies. There'll be some of them in great tribulation. There'll be people with their head blown off, and they won't be able to die. They can't kill themselves. They'll have knives stuck in their head and in their chest, and they can't die. Death will flee from them. There'll be zombies walking around. I know it's far-fetched, but I can't explain it all the way. He said they'll seek death, and they'll flee from it. After that tribulation, heaven's going to be rolled back like a scroll. They're going to see him. And the kings of this earth and the rulers of this earth, they're going to cry out to the rocks and the mountains to fall on them and hide them from the face of him that's to come. And there ain't going to be no hiding place. I'll tell you what Bible says. What shall I do with this Jesus, which is called Christ? Well, you better do something with him. He's either going to be your Savior or he's going to be your judge.
Man.
But there is no way that you're not going to have something to do with Jesus. Because in his name, every knee, my knees already bowed, Brother Philip.
Amen.
In his name, every knee is going to bow. In his name, every tongue is going to confess that he is Lord. That's including the devil.
Amen.
All the demons of hell. All of them are going to bow to Jesus. And they're going to say, you're Lord. I'm telling you, he's Lord, Lord. He's King of Kings. He's mine to save. He's able to save. From the uttermost. From the uttermost. If you can get to Jesus, you can get all you need,
man,
to be made whole. We're complete in him. I first got saved. I thought I'd speak in tongues and walk on there and all that. I'm complete in him. I ain't got none of that. I'm complete in him.
Amen.
Colossians chapter 2. I ain't lacking nothing. Some of you get kind of caught up in that, carried away in that. I'm complete in him. I'm not lacking nothing. In Noah's day, 8 people lived. Everybody else died. Jesus made a reference to Noah. He said, like it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. And Noah's day, they were eating, drinking, they were married, and all they saw, this might be kind of iffy here. Think about Kim Davis a lot when I hear this. They were married, and they were given in marriage. You see, the giving in marriage is a little different than marriage. The marriage is kind of like Hebrews 13:4. Marriage on the law, being on the five, the whole woman goes to God to judge. The marriage is a blessing. And it's what God has joined together. What's the son of man, what's the son? The marriage proceeded from God. The marriage is holy. The marriage is blessed. It's consummated by God himself. That giving in marriage. That, I'm not that smart. I'm not that bright. I'm living alive. Kim Davis, I've been trying to advocate for her. Man, this generation we're living in. I ain't that good. I mean, my daughter signed me up Facebook. I don't even have a log on. I've been using my wife's Facebook, trying to do a little social media. But they've been bending on my life. And it's me. Not even late, they said. He didn't even grow up. He didn't even get one time. I'm saying that thing. I can kick you right off. I use her email too. I know the same on Facebook. I can't even log on. That's not that I'm my own. I told her not to do it. She wouldn't listen. She better come to there you go, Dad. Lord, they didn't even have a calculator. I was just scared. We had them little beads on that metal rod. That's all we had. But we had the Word of God. We had prayer. We had the blessing of God in the schoolroom. I still remember, Brother Reed Moore. Every school day morning, read the Bible over here and kind of pray over us. We should let the Ten Commandments on the wall. We should let the Pledge of Allegiance, one nation under God, indivisible, and just throw it all out on there. Noah's day, 8 saved, the rest perished. Noah done the best he could. Last days will be like it was in Noah's day, and I'm going to throw a bunch of this out. But he preached. That's what we got to do, Brother Philip. We got to preach. They might not hear, but you still got to preach. God told Jeremiah, I said, they won't hear, but you go preach anyway. Jesus said, John 14:6, I am the way. He said, John 10:9, I am the door. Acts 4:12 said, no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. No other salvation. Acts 13:19, by him all that believe are justified from all sins, from all things. 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves, prove yourselves, and know yourselves that you're saved. Don't end up like he did in Noah's day. Somebody said, how do you know you're saved, Brother Eddie? Well, first of all, 1 John 5:13, God said, these things I've written that you may know that you have eternal life.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, you can't go on feeling. That woman had issue of blood, and all of a sudden she felt in her body she was ill. I felt something too. I felt relief, amen. It felt pretty good to be saved. Man, I have to admit, I still ain't got over it. I went with this mom up. I said, Mama, I got saved. She put a finger in my face, you know what she said? She said, when you get home, you look up and learn from that. That's what you are. And I would have hugged her neck. May it ever be true. Help us be more fanatical. There is a need today to let your light shine. There's a need today to reach this lost world. I don't know how many of you can come back tonight, but I'll try to stay with the program tonight. I left the whole message out. I believe I delivered what God wanted today. Now, I don't know what you are. You don't know me. But I'll tell you one thing. I'm going to heaven by the grace of God. I am what I am. My sin's under the blood. My name's in the book. I've been saved. And I'm glad I am. How is it with you? We're going to get Brother Philip to come up here. Get him to get someone to piano. Get an invitational song. I'm going to let him finish out this service. I thank you for bearing with me. I may have went a little long, but I appreciate you bearing with me there, and we'll get Brother Philip up here and conduct this invitation. Mm.